morning. Senator Crapo, good morning.
With you.
Good to have you with us, too, as well. And no, I got to make
the job assignment.
Well, you bet. That's true. Well, Marco Rubio couldn't do it, so we thought we'd ask you if you could. So,
all right.
That's all right. Well, Senator, the SAVE Act, the Senate has been dominated with that this week. Of course, the president wants to see this bill passed, obviously, and if not passed, at least debated, and that actually has begun. And would love your take on this.
Yes, we are moving into the SAVE Act, and as you know, there have been a big battle over that in recent weeks about whether the Senate would end the filibuster over this act or do a talking filibuster. And I mentioned to you last week that if it came to that, I would support it. There aren't enough votes, however, to get that done. So the process we are following is to bring a series of amendments, which President Trump has asked us to bring to even boost the SAVE Act, and then just to keep pushing and pushing on basically not doing cloture right away, but because we don't have the votes to get cloture, but pushing the Democrats in aggressive time management issues to help get this move forward. The amendments, just to remind everybody, are in addition to the traditional parts of the SAVE Act, which requires voter ID to vote, would be to include a ban on forcing minor children to have or giving minor children gender changing surgery. Secondly, banning men from women's sports. And then finally, a restriction on mail-in voting. President Trump wants to completely eliminate mail-in voting. Many, many states do mail-in voting, including Idaho, and do it in a very safe and secure way. And so what we are going to be debating is exactly how to restrict mail-in voting in ways that stop the abuses of it. The biggest fix there is to prohibit unsolicited mail-in ballots from being mailed out, as some states do, just to send ballots out to everybody and then get tons of ballots out there that can then be harvested for voting fraud. So we're going through all of those debates right now, and the Democrats in the meantime are trying to slow this thing down by filing multiple WAR Act resolutions, which are privileged resolutions, to try to stop President Trump's actions in Iran. And so we'll have at least, they've filed five of those. They're all the same thing. And we've already done five or six of them. But these are just delay tactics by the Democrats. So you're going to see battles on all of these issues as we try to move forward and then get the votes ultimately to go forward on the SAVE Act.
So when you have the SAVE Act taking up a lot of oxygen, and then you have the Democrats who are introducing these war powers acts, even taking up more oxygen, does anything else get done in an environment like what we're seeing this week?
Basically, no. Once these bills are on the floor the way they are, we have to stick with them until we get cloture, if we can get cloture, and move forward. The only thing that can happen is, as I mentioned, the Democrats will bring these War Powers Act resolutions. And the way they are able to interrupt the flow and move to the War Act provisions is a provision in the War Act that says that these motions are privileged, which means they can be forced onto the floor no matter what else is on the floor. So basically, the War Act provisions can get in there. And the Democrats are going to do that multiple times. And the rest of the time, we have to stay on this bill until it's either passed or defeated.
All right. We're 30 days into the partial government shutdown. We want to talk a little bit about DHS funding and all of that. But I wanted to really quickly ask you, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen is doing his confirmation hearing this morning for the DHS nominee. And just give us an idea. Do you think this should be a pretty smooth sailing hearing for him, and this should get done pretty quickly?
We are pushing to get it done very quickly, and I would have told you, if you'd asked me this a week ago, that I expect that it should be pretty smooth sailing. Mark Wayne Mullen is maybe he is not liked in terms of some of his aggressive politics by the Democrats, but they all know that he's totally qualified and capable. And we expected that because he was a Senate colleague, they may actually be willing to move forward with his nomination without the usual games and troubles that they cause. But they've pretty much indicated, at least as of today, that they are going to lock up on that, just like they're locking up on ICE and the rest of the Department of Homeland Security. And that, you know, that doesn't mean that they can stop the nomination. We can get the nomination through, but what it means is it's going to be a brutal battle. And unfortunately, I guess that's what I'm predicting right now.
Well, yeah, no doubt it sounds like that's what it's shaping up to be. I want to get to the midterms in just a moment, but Senator, first let's talk about Iran, and we're now a little over 2 weeks into Operation Epic Fury. How do you think things are going, and what are you looking at? What are your salient thoughts about that?
Well, as we've said before, as I've indicated to you before, I strongly support President Trump's actions here because Iran has for 47 years they've conducted terrorist activities and killed many U.S. soldiers and many U.S. citizens, and had been doing so recently and planning more, and they had refused to stop building a nuclear weapon. The urgency of this is something we keep fighting over, and we don't have all of the top secret information to discuss on the radio about what the president may have had in terms of what caused him to say we've got to go now. But I'm pretty confident that it was a matter of getting this done before the Iranians conducted the first strike, and I believe that is still the case, and it was a wise decision. We have successfully, very dramatically depleted their naval capacity, their air force capacity. We control the skies over Iran. We hit 1,000 targets in the first week. We've hit, I think, at least 6,000 targets now. Everyone knows that significant damage has been done to their capacity to launch, although they have literally tens of thousands of drones that they can still send out. And we have to take those out one at a time. And we also have stopped the capacity of their Air Force or Navy from conducting major strikes, long-distance strikes. And so their capacities continue to be depleted every day. And we really do need to have support from NATO countries to open the Straits of Hormuz, which is something that they are using to drive up the cost of oil and, you know, just inflict a lot of pain on the rest of the world while we fight this fight. And we can get that open if we will get some support from other nations. We are getting some significant support from other nations, but they need to step up a little more.
Senator, I wanted to ask you, and maybe Julie's got another question, but my last question is on the midterms. I saw something about the polling right now. It's favoring the Democrats just a little bit, and if the election were held today, it's likely that they would pick up enough seats to regain the majority. What are your thoughts? But we're still months and months away, so I'd love your thoughts on the prospect for the midterms for Republicans.
Well, we knew, you know, given the historical trend in a midterm election on a president, we knew that the dynamics were going to push against us somewhat, because it always happens. People are almost always unhappy, no matter who's president and no matter what they're doing. There's a little bit more unhappiness with what's going on in Congress. And so we've seen that kind of thing develop, and that's what generates these things in the polls. You've also seen, you know, there's a lot of people very unhappy with President Trump's aggressive immigration enforcement, and that is starting to show up in the polls. That being said, I think your comment about the fact that it's early is very important, and what we are seeing is a lot of folks that are very happy with what President Trump has done in closing our borders and in what we've done with the One Big Beautiful Bill, and as we I've got to change the word on that, the Working Families Tax Cut Act. And as we move forward and further remind people, we see that the polls move. And I've seen polls bouncing one way one week and then starting to bounce the other way the next week. I think that we have a good case to make, and I believe we are getting much more aggressive at making it. The national media, of course, does everything they can to block that. But I think that this is definitely not game over. I think we are engaged in a very tight election, and small margins are going to make the difference in a number of races. And those small margins are those that we can work with in our favor if we can get our story out.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to throw you a curveball here. We've got a lot of stalling happening in D.C., obviously, with everything that we've talked about. You sent a letter to President Trump, along with over 60 of your colleagues, asking for Japan's restrictions on U.S. potatoes to kind of be lightened a little bit. This matters to Idaho. So do you want to tell us about that letter? And do you think Trump will lighten those restrictions?
First of all, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought this question up. Japan has for some time, as have some other nations, blocked our potatoes or specialty crops like apples. And apples are a big product in Idaho as well. I'm not sure whether Japan is blocking apples, but other nations are blocking apples. And we call them collectively specialty crops. And we have asked President Trump and his trade representative, Jamison Greer, to pay attention to these products as he is negotiating with other countries on trade. As you know, he's using tariffs as a mechanism to force countries around the globe to eliminate their restrictive trade practices against us. And when they do that, then he enters into agreements with them. This is a different dynamic than has been done in the past. And so we asked him to bring apples, and particularly for Idaho, potatoes, into these negotiations. And we haven't got a specific formal yes from him on that, but I have no doubt that he will listen to it. I think this is going to elevate our specialty crops and potatoes and apples in particular into the specific discussions in these negotiations as they move forward with Japan.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Senator Crapo joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning. Senator, thank you.
Thank you. Great to visit with you.
All right.